America.
Blog Talk Radio.
Come on a Pondo.
Ilanga lishonile, papa na mazungu yisi komozo baba.
Masie kipo mozo baba, lemuga no moya.
Grand rising, grand rising, grand rising. Welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced Grand Rising with Shabaka and the Chase. The air date of this episode is December 8th, 2023. We're discussing today, ladies and gentlemen, black soldiers in the U.S. military and, of course, the recent events that happened in the last couple of days up at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas campus, and where this college professor by the name of Polito had went on a shooting rampage in the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, or if not the University Police of Nevada, Las Vegas, kicked him off the planet, and rightfully so. So we want to hear, you know, from our co-host, co-producers from Denver, Colorado, the one and only Che and Krumah, and also too. I'm your host, Shabaka Sankora, coming to you from Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada. Our chat room is open for hate mail, you know, so please, you know, direct all your derogatory comments, you know, to our chat room, and we'll be more than happy to read them on the air. Okay, grand rising to you, Brother Che. How you be?
Grand rising, Shabaka. Grand rising from the mile high income and migrant flooded city.
Yes.
Okay. Getting ready to snow out here. So.
Okay, well, we're at 46 degrees, okay, and what have you. And then to start us off, I'm reading here this article online here from the Cartoon Nazi Network. Target list, ammo, and conspiracy theories. Authorities reveal details on UNLV gunmen who killed three faculty members. The 67-year-old career college professor who fatally shot three faculty members this week at UNLV kept a target list of faculty at the school and elsewhere, said authorities, searching for a motive. Investigators found ammunition at Anthony Polito's apartment along with an eviction notice and have identified nearly two dozen letters he mailed in the hours leading up to the shooting to university personnel across the country. They said he was also fascinated by conspiracy theories in Las Vegas, according to his online writings and former students. Okay, Polito was shot and killed by police Wednesday after his attack near the site of the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history, when a sniper in 2017 killed more than 50 people and injured hundreds at an outdoor concert on the Las Vegas Strip. That was the fool up there, man. Yeah, go ahead, Brother Jay.
Oh, that's all I wanted to add. That was just I was just bringing that up. That was the Dishon Aldean concert, the one that says
Yes, sir. And he was over there by Las Vegas International Airport when he did that. Okay, so Wednesday's violence marked the 80th school shooting in the U.S. this year. 80, including 29 at university or college campuses, CNN analysis shows, and that there's the Cartoon News Network.
Mass shooting is the murder of more than four people.
Yes, sir. And then Polito, armed with a 9mm pistol and 9 loaded magazines, also injured a visiting male professor in a building that is part of the business school. That man was being treated for life-threatening injuries, Las Vegas Sheriff Kevin McMahill said Thursday. None of the faculty members shot Wednesday were on Polito's target list, which included people he was seeking on the university campus, as well as faculty from the Eastern Carolina University. McMahill said the sheriff did not explain what led investigators to believe it was a list of targets or where they found the document. It remained unclear why Polito, who lived in the Las Vegas suburb of Henderson, targeted UNLV, or if he had any connection to the school. He had unsuccessfully applied to several higher education jobs in Nevada and appeared to be struggling financially. Wow, more reason for us as a people to start our own businesses and what have you. An eviction notice was found on his apartment door, the sheriff said, and in the hours leading up to the shooting, Polito mailed 22 letters to university personnel across the U.S. with no return address, he said. At least some of the envelopes had a harmless white powder in them, Las Vegas police said Thursday evening. More details about the letters' contents weren't immediately released. Detectives are asking people in academia who got a letter with no return address to proceed with caution. And then, of course, there's more information here of how UNLV mourns beloved faculty members. The shooting just days before the start of final exams was the most difficult day in the history of the university, said the president of the university, Keith Whitfield. Killed were business school professors Patricia Navarro-Velez and Chad Jane Jerry Chang, Whitfield said. Thursday, in a letter to the school community, the names of the third slain faculty member will be released after the person's relatives are notified with the bad news. So, of course, our hearts go out to the loved ones, surviving relatives. Quote, unquote, I won't sugarcoat it. We all are hurting right now, Whitfield said, but it's in these trying times that we need to lean on one another for support. Words are still hard to come by as we're only beginning the process of grief, loss, anger, and fear associated with Wednesday's tragic campus shooting that took the lives of three of our cherished faculty members, Whitfield wrote. And Navarro Velez, 39, an assistant professor of accounting, had been teaching at the school for almost 5 years and had devoted her career to educating the next generation of accountants. Chang, 64, had been teaching UNLV's business school students for more than 20 years on management information systems, which is a fancy way of saying artificial intelligence, the gunman, ammunition, and conspiracies. Investigators found several computers and hard drive components while searching his apartment and are reviewing the devices and Polito's social media for a possible motive, the sheriff said. Authorities also found ammunition like cartridges found at the scene of the shooting, as well as a box matching the gun police believe Polito used, McMahill said. On a chair, investigators also discovered a document similar to a last will and testament, he said. So therefore, this just goes to show, you know, what this individual was planning to do. He knew what he was doing, again. Right. And he has online writing showing interest in the gambling capital and in conspiracy theories. His personal website lists a section devoted to powerful organizations bent on global domination and includes links to common conspiracy theory fodder like Freemasonry, the Trilateral Commission, the Rothschilds family, billionaire hedge fund manager George Soros, a common target for anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, is listed as one of the great minds of the 20th century along Albert Einstein. Meanwhile, three of Polito's former students say he spoke frequently about Las Vegas and visited the city as much as he could while teaching in other states. His website notes he had made more than 24 trips to Las Vegas over the last 15 years, although it was not clear when the statement was posted. And they said he had an unorthodox teaching style, and he often opened classes with Las Vegas stories, said Jonathan Peralta, who was in one of his classes at Eastern Carolina University in 2013 or 2014. And this was surprising, Peralta told the Cartoon News Network of the UNLV shooting. The Vegas connection is what makes it so crazy because he would talk about Las Vegas so much. And this dude, Polito, worked at Eastern Carolina University of Business from 2001 until he resigned in 2017, when he was a tenured associate professor, a college spokesman told CNN he had ties to Nevada's Roseman University from October 2018 to June 2022, attending the school and working as an adjunct professor, a school spokesman. Spokesperson said he had also worked in academia in Georgia. His now removed link page show. Okay, and then they got more details of how it unfolded and what have you. And, you know, this is a very, very sad tragedy. But, however, something is in the air, definitely, you know, against us as a people. And when I'm saying people, I'm talking about black people, okay? And then, so this here just goes to prove, ladies and gentlemen, as we have always advocated on this podcast, of why we must do for self is because everybody out there hates us, okay? And I see we got a caller here out the 520 area code, the last three. Is 529, so just press 1 and we'll be more than happy to have you on the air. And I think I know who this is. Okay. So anyway, Brother Che, it just goes to show the more reason why we cannot be sitting up here, man, be worrying about, you know, these other groups and hating ourselves. You see what I mean? So we got to do for self, and that is a must. Comment, sir.
This is a white dude, right?
Yes, sir, that is correct. Mm-hmm. That is correct. And then also, too, as we all know, the day today is December 8th, and this here is the day after, you know, the university, anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor, because we are going to be talking about the black soldiers in the military. First of all, we want to give our respects to the memory of Dory Miller, who was shot down, I believe it was 6 Japanese Zeros, who was a cook on one of the ships, you know, that was sank. And, you know, he was given a medal, you know, for his efforts. But, of course, as we do know, a lot of the black soldiers who came back from World War II, when they returned to various cities in the South, they themselves were persecuted for simply wearing the uniforms. And, of course, the soldier who had, was just discharged from Fort Benning, Georgia, at the end of World War II, who had had both his eyes put out from a nightstick with a sheriff that beat him severely. And then, of course, you know, after World War One, you know, where they had a lot of soldiers that they just wanted to kill, you know, just for the heck of it, you know. Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, you're talking about the Devil's Punch Bowl.
Yeah, that too, okay, you know, which was after the Civil War down in Mississippi, you see what I'm saying? And it's just incredible of how, you know, the black soldiers, you know, a lot of them who lost their lives for America just to come back and be treated like third or fourth class citizens. And then, of course, too, as Dr. King was about to lecture before his untimely assassination about why is there a huge disproportions of black soldiers on the front line in Vietnam. Okay, also, too, we got to recognize the fact of the soldiers of World War II who flew under the command of Benjamin O. Davis Jr. And the German Luftwaffe, or the Air Force, was no match for them as well, too, you see. So everybody hates us, ladies and gentlemen, and that there is clearly obvious, but we still got to distance ourselves, you know, from these Sambo Rambo politicians. And also, too, that bum by the name of Eric Adams. And looking at it here, you know, on the news, New York City, Eric Adams' job approval rating plummets below 30%. Adams currently has the worst approval rating for any New York City mayor since Quinnipiac started tracking the figure in 96. Okay, Adams has seen his approval ratings drop once again, with only 28% of New York City voters approving of his job performance, according to a new poll. Also, too, there's something going on where he's being a victim of this Me Too campaign and what have you. So it just goes to show the more reason of why we need resurrection of the mental dead. You see what I'm saying? And Negroes like him, Uncle Tim Scott, Larry Elders, Leo Terrell, you know, those bums, you know what I mean? You know, they are highly, highly misrepresenting us, and I really wish there was a way for black voters to go up here and sue these no-good so-and-sos, you know, making all these promises, then they sit up there as soon as they get elected.
That's happened.
Yes, go. Okay, brother. Yeah, and what's that dude's name? Brandon. Yeah, Brandon Johnson,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying, and what have you. Okay, so reading up here on Mayor Adams, you know, in this poll, not only are voters giving him poor grades on the job he's doing at City Hall, their views on his character have dimmed as well, too, said Quinnipiac University poll assistant director Mary Snow in a statement. Adams' reputation has been hurt by an FBI probe into potentially illegal donations his campaign allegedly received from Turkey, along with recent allegations that the mayor sexually assaulted a co-worker in 93. And Adams has denied any wrongdoing in both cases. The New York City mayor's popularity has also been hurt by the strain the city faces from an influx of migrants and recently announced budget cuts. Okay. Now, let's do some basic math here. I'm not the brightest person right here, ladies and gentlemen. So if he's going through budget cuts, okay, let's see right here. Budget cuts, and then, of course, you know, he's putting more money for immigrants. Okay, so if he's putting more money for immigrants, then this goes to show this clown, just like the majority of these coon-ass, ass-scratching politicians, you see what I'm saying? You know, just giving us a bunch of lip service, man, from San Francisco to Chicago, man, to Atlanta, to New York City. You know, I mean, why are we wasting our time? The only person I'm voting for is Jesse Parris, you know, with a black first agenda. This is what we need, you see, it's because this all-inclusivity is a bunch of bullshit. It does not work. It has never worked, and it will not work. In other words, how long do we have to keep banging our head against a wall and expecting a different result as more and more contusions and bruises and swelling occurs on this? You see what I mean? So like I said, you know we're being shadow banned. You know, we know our haters hate us. And, you know, and this is why we appreciate our haters. So the chat room is open. Okay, Brother Che, comments, please.
On the Las Vegas situation, or just on the military in general?
Okay, in general, and also, too, about the black soldiers, you know what I mean, and what have you, you know, of how they were hated, you know, and still are hated, you know what I'm saying? And then also, too, pulling up here.
Sebastian,
yes, sir.
Black people have fought in every war this country has ever had. We are the reason why the Union won the Civil War, because the last 6 months, color infantrymen, and in that 6 months, the Confederates, and won the
war. Right.
So they're all talking about patriotism and all this and that. Ain't nobody more patriotic than black Americans.
Like yes.
There'll be no United States of America if it wasn't for our ancestors fighting and dying
right.
on the battlefield.
Yes, sir. And then also, too,
that vote
as that would,
way to, and we can see the past 60 years not been working.
Exactly. You see, and then also too, I'm reading here an article, February 17th, 2022. Okay, the economic status of well, they call us Black Americans, and I fail to see how we're Americans when we're of African descent. But, however, it is what it is. Okay, so we'll read it. Despite significant improvements over the past few decades, Africans in America experience a far worse economic conditions than descendants of the raping, slave trading pedophiles and the population as a whole. Black workers and families lag behind other racial and ethnic groups' wealth, face ongoing disparities in income, and struggle to save for retirement and child care. At the same token, there have been marked progress in other majors like college and high school completion and rates of union participation. Now, there was some idiot, you know, who had wanted to get rid of affirmative action at the federal level. Now, there was a bum by the name of Ward Connolly in California, who was a regent for the University of California, who had wanted to get rid of affirmative action measures and what have you. And from what I understand, he had even had sponsored an initiative, I think it was 2004, 2006 or something like that. Recognizing both the progress that has been made over the last decades as well as the challenge that remains is essentially to ensuring that every American has a positive opportunity to build and fully participate in an economy that is more inclusive and fair. That is more inclusive and fair. Now, what's happening is with this illusion of inclusion, quite naturally, of course, this pulls away, you know, economical resources, educational resources, capital resources, and what have you, for us to reinvest in ourselves. You see? And then they're trying to say that there's been significant improvements in the visibility of black workers and families in the U.S. economy. Because of these and other growing sources of data, economists and policymakers are better equipped to recognize, explain, and address the challenges and progress of Africans in America over the last 50 years, you see. So, you know, we just want some comments on that there, Brother Chair. And what is your feedback on that, sir?
First of all, we got Lady Che in the building, so let's go to her.
Okay.
I'm sorry, fellas. It's just my phone, like, not charging correctly. Just got in here, Grand Rising, everybody, Brother Shabaka, Brother Che. I don't know who else is on the line, but Grand Rising, I got in here, so I'm just catching up.
Okay, Grand Rising, Lady Che, thank you for joining us. Based off of what you said, I'm not surprised. Nothing that you read surprised me. While we have to hire our own people, create our own business. Have the income that we can be able to survive off of.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Corrective action that the fraud and economic tells us. It's supposed to be corrective action for what happened during Jim Crow. It's supposed to be corrective action. Benefited everybody but including white women. So, currently back. Now everybody else.
And then here's something else too, Brother Che, that I came across here on the news. Okay. It says Black Panther case could be key to booting Trump off ballot, a law professor says. Okay. And we're talking about now the dump, as in human shit. And I want to make that perfectly clear. Okay, this is out of your neck of the woods, Brother Trey. Despite a ruling in Colorado that found that dump can remain on the 2024 ballot, even though his actions on January 6th effectively made him an insurrectionist, a law professor at the University of Notre Dame has filed a legal brief citing past cases that blocked presidential candidates from the vote. Okay, Derrick T. Muller cited the 1968 case of former Black Panther leader Eldridge Cleaver, who ran for president for the Peace and Freedom Party. California excluded Cleaver from the ballot because he was below the 35-year-old minimum age limit for the presidency, despite arguments that he would reach that age while in the post. Cleaver was 33 years old, nominee of the Peace and Freedom Party. He challenged the exclusion in state court, which rejected his challenge. And, of course, why California would not is beyond me. Why would they not exclude him? Cleaver petitioned for a certiorari to the United States Supreme Court. Without comment, the court rejected the petition. Okay. There's a poll here saying that should the dump, as in human shit, and we want to make that perfectly clear, should be allowed to run for office. According to Mueller, Cleaver's case demonstrates the fact that a state did exclude a candidate from the ballot for failure to meet the qualifications for office. And California excluded Cleaver, even though Cleaver would become eligible during the four-year presidential term in office. Now, the dump, as in human shit, and we want to make this perfectly clear, has argued that the states have no power to judge the qualifications of candidates. That is a political question. The historical record, however, suggests that in at least some cases, states have excluded candidates, Mueller told Newsweek. The Colorado decision, currently being appealed, ruled that the dump did take part in an insurrection, but the 14th Amendment clause that bars insurrectionists from taking public office does not apply to presidents. Oh, the hypocrisy is real. But similar 14th Amendment challenges in several other states have failed because judges have ruled it's up to Congress and not the states to disqualify. Okay. Now, the thing is that we have to look at people. Okay, and I see that, Lady Che has joined us. Okay. All right, but the thing is, people, is this is why we've been saying all along, why should we be wasting time banging our head against a wall for a process that's not going to work for us and expecting a different result? I just don't get it. Comments, please.
Insanity. You keep changing over and over and over, expecting different results. That's insanity.
Mhm. Yeah.
I think that if it hasn't served us before, it's not really going to serve us now. You know, it's just spinning its wheels, just trying to get reactions from us. But in all actuality, it's not going to benefit us.
Okay, but also to another thing that we have to blame too, folks, is and I'm expecting hate mail on this.
Hold
on, right here.
Elvis Cleaver was a goddamn informant. He turned on Black Panther. He was one beater. The hell with Elvis Cleaver. He gets no respect over here.
Exactly. You know, exactly. And then the sad part about it was it's just sad. And what it is just sad to that we as a people sit up here, we go for this garbage again and again and again and again, and then they simply use us as pawns on every election cycle. Rather if it's the general election every 4 years, rather if it's the midterm elections every 2 years. And then what's happening is of how it shattered the Black family unit, of how it's killing, you know, Black male, Black female relationships, is because all across this internet, I'm seeing, you know, all these Black women up here talking about that they prefer white husbands. So once again, you know, just spitting in the face of Black men. You see, the thing is, this society does not mind the Black female, but it hates and despises the Black male. Well, as we all know, Brother Che, over the years we've been doing this, this is the Willie Lynch syndrome. You know, divide the young against the old, the male against the female and what have you. And then, of course, we know about the history of Black Friday and whatnot. And so all our people out there, we love our supporters and our well wishers, and thank you again. And please give a brother Che, and please donate there to the Cash App that he has up there when we go and do our stream yards on Saturdays and Sundays. It's a, you know, to make this platform self-sufficient, you know. And then also, too, to your other media content creators, you're more than welcome to post off in our groups. But however, on your platforms, please mention us, you know what I'm saying? We're just asking for a common courtesy, you know what I mean? And then over the years that we've been doing this, you know, we've had all kind of smear campaigns against us, as you know, what they tried to do with Brother Che when he was running for mayor of Denver. And then that mayor of Denver, Colorado, Mike, what's his name? Mike Johnston, I believe, Brother Che?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, Mike Johnston, what they need to do is take the governor's mansion, I'm sorry, the mayor's mansion of Denver, Colorado, and the governor's mansion, use that space in there to house the homeless as well, too, is because every time that the homeless make purchases in the city and county of Denver, they're paying state taxes as well, too, so they deserve to get what they pay for. You see, as opposed to being turned out, you know, and having all their possessions thrown in dumpsters and stuff like that when they do the unhoused neighbor suite. Okay. Now, we got a note here off of Stinky Bird right here. From what I understand, there was a woman who attempted to burn down Dr. King's childhood home yesterday.
Whoa, whoa. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
man, what?
Yeah, that happened last night.
Man, back that track up, Brother Shabaka. Back that track up. What'd you say?
Yeah,
what would do
yeah.
such a thing?
Yeah, okay. There was a name of a 26-year-old woman who attempted to burn down Dr. King's birth home at 501 Arbor at Auburn Avenue in Atlanta, Georgia. Okay, they said that Dr. King's home is a U.S. National Park landmark. The Queen Anne-style house was built in 1895. Okay. Yeah, man, this is a young Black woman that they have up here and whatnot, you know. So this is very, very
sad. She can't be an FBA woman, huh? That's not a foundational Black American woman.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and so
that's
once
like
again,
a, that's like a tether, or egg, or baby, or somebody got vitriol in the bloodstream. Real pussy made mark ass bitch type shit. Man, what in the fuck? I'm sorry. I mean, like, you don't have to agree with Dr. You know what I mean? You don't have to agree with him. You didn't have to like him, okay? You didn't have to do all that, but you really go and take any kind of fire. Or any kind of heat to the man's birth house. That's our fucking person.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like that's our one of our heroes, aka. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's one of our inspirations. Like cut. It's too early for this, Shabaka.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's too early for that.
Yeah. This is a sickness.
Can't be an American woman. An American Black woman would never do such a thing.
No, it's well, they're saying that this young woman, you know, is in her 20s, and we don't know if this woman has been extorted into doing this, like with the counterintelligence program, or if she was deranged, you know what I mean? And,
that sounds like an act of stupidity, like, fuck what you talking about. Nobody can, like, as a Black person, you really think, like, that you would go and attempt to take any kind of accelerant to any of our fucking, our Black icons in the Americas that we literally are indoctrinated to look at as one of the leaders?
Mm-hmm.
Like, You know, they always preach that. Like, they don't want to talk about, you know, other people. They always want to talk about Martin Luther King, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the number one go-to, okay? Like,
mm-hmm.
Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, period. Number one go-to.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to talk about nobody else, but anybody want to take any kind of fucking accelerant to
mm-hmm.
a man's birth house where mama, you know, we're raising, whatever. Man's gone. We celebrate him every year, you know, like once a year. This is just that bullshit. Like, doesn't matter what you would be coerced into doing. If you're from
mm-hmm.
the Americas, burn your boyfriend's house down. Burn your own mama's house down. Fucking light a white person's house down if you want to. You know, it don't really matter. Just don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get talked about for real. And, like, it's never going to be a good way either. You know,
mm-hmm.
like that right there, you like an enemy to our people now. Like,
what
the fuck is wrong
mm-hmm.
with you? Like, there's nothing you can say. They really can say, they paid
okay.
me, they coerced me. You can't
okay.
think for yourself, bitch. You can't run off.
Okay, what
you know
it
mean?
Is, though,
like,
Lady J, it's the programming, you know, from Hollywood with this right here. You know, Dr. Francis Cresswell thing has said. Just like when Tricky Dick was in office and he had his national security advisor, Henry Kissinger, who kicked a bucket at 100 years old a few days back, okay? And as Dr. Francis Cresswell had stated, is that they, way back then in the 1970s, they wanted to effeminize the black male, which they did. This is why they took the black father out of the home. This is why they're creating so much friction between black men and black women to kill the black family unit. Now, when you look at these bullshit-ass TV commercials that's coming out of there, that stinking place called Los Angeles, California, they're always showing you white men and black females together in these family settings. But they don't never want to show the black male and the black female, you know, running a household. And then, of course, of how they have systemically degraded and effeminized the black male on a general basis. And just as you and I had pointed out there too, Brother Che, you know, like Billy Porter and stuff like that, showing up there, you know, at the Golden Globes Awards there in Los Angeles, you know, wearing the dress, showing up there,
yeah.
you know, at the Academy Awards, black men wearing dresses and stuff like this. And then, of course, you know, in the hip-hop industry, you know, they're coming out with this ratchetness, you know, black females and things like that. And then the sad part about it is, which is really an insult to our intelligence, is that they're saying that this bullshit is progress. Comments, please.
Well,
I think that's not progress and try to burn one of our icons out there. That's major steps back. Like, we're looking at, like, the era of, you know, Klan. That shit is crazy to me. I don't care what color you come in. Just, I got to look into it. I was like, I know I'm making hot boy statements, Black Stanley, but I'll look into it. I did some reading, Shabaka threw me off, but I was like, just off an opinion alone, hearing it in my ears, I'm like, yeah, we took major steps back. This is the same time, you know, when the Klan was terrorizing black folk,
mm-hmm.
burning their cribs down, and you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
you don't care
mm-hmm.
what color it come in, it's very, very, oh no, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I gotta do
mm-hmm.
further research. I'm not just making out boys' papers, so it's not making
mm-hmm.
even until I read on it.
mm-hmm.
Sorry, brother, but that's my opinion. I don't think we're making any progress if we have to use that as an example. And then we got, you know, I mean, like black people, it's really odd when we do off-brand weirdo shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something must happen. Like, we bump it off our own children. We doing just dumb shit, you know, like stupid shit that is not for us, right? That's
mm-hmm.
them. They do they're the ones that, you know, drive the car full of themselves and their children off the bridge. It ain't
mm-hmm.
us, you know what I mean? They're the ones that'll
mm-hmm.
put their kid in the motherfucking oven and walk off. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's them, you know what I mean? That's not us. So when we do stupid shit,
you gotta mm-hmm. really look at the situation like we really haven't gone nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because look, we ain't really moved nowhere. It's just getting worse. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have a debate mm-hmm. where we gotta really justify having to argue about holding our vote for actual substantial tangibles and have to really go and like enforce a narrative to our own people because they can't see the right from the wrong. Like, for decades now, we really ain't moved nowhere.
Mm-hmm. No, we haven't. You see what I'm saying? We've been stagnated. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We really
like,
like
intentional conditioning to be cognitively lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Or
and,
that's terrible.
And then, of course, too, you know that the latest is that a black congressman who was primed to launch, wait a minute, okay, this dude in Congress, what was this clown's name, that they fined him $1,000 for pulling a fire alarm at the U.S. Capitol, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, what's his name? Yeah, Bowman was his name, you know, and what have you. And then, of course, yeah, go ahead, Brother Che.
His name is Jamal Bowman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, the one they censured?
Yeah, he's being censured because he allegedly had pulled a fire alarm at the U.S. Capitol and what have you, you know what I'm saying? And it's really crazy. And then also, too, we're looking at here on Fox News to see if we got some data that they were saying, okay, here we go with all this advertisement and bullshit up here, you know what I mean? Okay, and so, you know, they're trying to push up pressure, you know, to impeach Joe Biden, and I'm of the personal opinion, I mean, it really doesn't, you know, matter to me. And then the border crisis intensifies as the Grand Ole Party hopefuls meet for Alabama debate. So doing something down there in the great state of Alabama, okay? And so going back here, so we do have a... another caller, you know, 520, last 3529, you know, just press 1. Be more than happy to have you on the air for your comments. And I think I know who this is. Okay, all righty. So we've had black soldiers since the Revolutionary War of 1776, okay? You had black soldiers in the War of 1812. You had black soldiers in the Civil War. You've had black soldiers in the, what is that there, the Philippine or the Spanish-American Wars of 1898. Black soldiers, World War I. Yeah, black soldiers, World War II. Black soldiers in the Korean conflict in the early 1950s. Black soldiers, of course, in the Vietnam era. And this is why we appreciate the heavyweight champion at that time for taking a stand on what he did. A lot of people are saying, well, Muhammad Ali was a coward. And my response to that, if that man was such a coward, go get off in the ring with him. And I bet you he'll make a coward and a punk out of you. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, we just have to be real. You know, this all-inclusivity stuff does not and will not work. You know, we just simply hate it for who we are and a great legacy of where we come from. You see what I'm saying? Then we are charging, you know, our commentator Sarge with desertion today because he was ordered to report here this morning and we haven't heard from him. So we're charging Sarge with desertion.
Yeah, he did say he was coming.
Yeah, he did say. You see what I mean? So he's definitely wide awake because it's 11 a.m.
I think Sarge does this on purpose because he know I'm gonna tell him something about himself. I think he do it on purpose because secretly he need that. Like, he needs me to tell him he's fired on Friday.
Okay.
Like, he's fired for, like, 30 days.
Now we're just going to simply charge with desertion and dereliction of duty.
How
you
many charges can a man have before he's kicked out the army?
Well, in the military, I think for this you would be court-martialed, and it ain't nothing nice.
Yeah,
you know?
You're supposed to be court-martialed, dishonorably discharged. I mean, not really. I mean, that's a little bit much right now, but I'm just saying, how many charges can a soldier really have on his record before, his record ain't no good?
Yeah, well, you know, Sarge is Sarge, you know what I'm saying, and what have you, you know, and so we'll track
then
them down.
Then
we'll
let all the soldiers do what the fuck they want.
And then Joe Gibson, you know, you're always welcome to call
Joe Gibson.
In, Joe.
Joe Gibson's another one. He came with his whole crew last week on Tuesday, I'm going to show out with
the white
touch of buggers black experience.
And toward the end, you know what I'm saying, it turned into a circus, but however, at the beginning of our show, we definitely appreciate our contributor, Ms. Rosa Sparks, for coming on. And if you hear us out there, Ms. Sparks, we're going to ask you to come on again to guest host. Great knowledge that she dropped and what have you. But as you're saying, Brother Che, we should, hold our vote. And we need to flex our economical muscle, but we have to get some of our collegiate people and intellectuals involved in this and entrepreneurs to really make this shift. You see what I'm saying? And then particularly out there in that cesspool called Los Angeles, California, that I am quite familiar with, we need an economical shift out there as well, too, with this movie-making garbage, okay? It's because, they perpetuate the self-hate, and they use black people to do it in regards when it comes to our African history. You see, and they shouldn't do that. Biggest lie ever told. Well, you sold your own people into slavery. What it was a divide and conquer technique that the Europeans did use here too on the continent of Africa, commonly referred to as North America, where they would divide and conquer, and then the indigenous peoples of America showed these savages how to cook and what have you, familiarizing with the land, and how did they return the favors, is by the Catholic.
That was our people that showed them.
You see. And then on that there, too, Brother Che, you and I got to, do the show on the foundational black Americans. And we may disagree, but at least let us disagree agreeably, because, we did circumnavigate the globe first before a stinking savage by the name of Columbus, who was a drunk, by the way, and he was going one way when he thought he was going the other in the opposite direction. And, of course, as we do know, the term Indians is people from India. And then also, too, we want to crumb bomb once again on Gandhi. Is because, when he did his thing in South Africa, he was mainly dealing with people from India and not the indigenous people there of Azania. You see what I'm saying? And so, say that again, Brother Che.
Do nothing for the black people in India.
No, he didn't do nothing for black people in Azania. Do you see?
Or India.
Yeah, exactly. You see, and so this Vivek Ramaswamy punk, who's running for U.S. Congress, hey, you're entitled to call him, too.
Thank you,
Ramaswamy. Yeah, because Ramaswamy is saying that we don't deserve reparations, and I want to know if how this first generation, what was he, second generation, he's an anchor baby, right?
Yeah, he's a tether anchor baby.
Yeah, okay. You see, so.
Like a front, man, that last debate, no matter what everybody said, he was quite amusing. not vote-worthy amusing, but I mean, not vote-worthy, but, he was kind of amusing. I like the tussle, back and forth. It's a little shaming, but, I wouldn't vote for the motherfucker. And I'll just say, I was quite highly amused. I laughed a few times, so I was that was good for me. I need to get that out of my system,
Yeah,
you would not get my vote. Get the black vote.
Yeah, well, I don't think nobody should vote for that fool. You know what I'm saying? But however, Lady Che, it is what it is. You know what I mean? And
I mean, it's a real shitty look. Like when you think about it, from how he come up or how his lineage look. How you gonna be like a multi-millionaire, billionaire, whatever you are, and have your wife still work? You only in your 30s, but you come from a lineage where that doesn't really happen.
Mm-hmm. But you know however, I mean? Though, where he comes from, they have what they call as a caste system, Lady Che. And I'm going to ask Brother Che, you know, to explain, you know, the caste system. And what is the caste system that they have over there again, Brother Che?
They have a caste system. So Kamala Harris and Vic fall into the Brahmin class, which is the upper echelon of Indian society. And then at the very bottom, you have the Dravidians, or otherwise known as the Untouchables.
Okay.
And they are treated horrifically.
Okay. And then from what I understand, that they...
I thought that had to do with the, color, with their colors, right?
Okay.
With the colors?
Yeah, go ahead.
Dots on their head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then also, too, you know, this here, this damn artificial intelligence garbage. And we're going to be doing a story on that as well, too. Okay, is because, is that what it is that this is what we're looked upon, you know, in the U.S., okay, you know, as being, you know, below class. Okay, could you elaborate on that there once again, Brother Che and Lady Che? And then I said we have an additional caller right here, and please feel free to press 1, and we'd be more than happy to have you on air.
So you're born into this caste system, Shabaka, and depending on what your family is, that's what you are born into. So they had that movie, what was that, Slumdog Millionaire, which detailed a little bit of that. And also, you can't get out of your caste. So once you're born into a caste, you're stuck there for the rest of your life, which is why they call it a caste system. So there's no way up or down. You're born into a Brahmin class, you're going to stay a Brahmin class. If you're born into a Dravidian class, and you're going to stay a Dravidian class.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. And you like that there for the rest of your life?
Yes.
Wow. That's very, very interesting. You know, very interesting. And it's pretty much of the fact.
I mean, you can try to marry out of it, but usually they won't let you marry somebody that's in a lower class than you.
Right. Okay. And then, of course, and you're supposed to, and in that society, you're supposed to sit there and just accept your place, right? And then, of course, you know, you'll be
ordained,
yeah.
Or that's how they wanted it. And, you know, they call it Hinduism. Mm-hmm. Hinduism and Buddhism. Look at their gods. Their gods are all black. They hate black people.
Mm-hmm. Wow, this is incredible. You know what I'm saying?
Like Krishna is black. Shiva is black. But Sister Ashita got her hand up. She got feedback.
Okay. Okay, I got feedback. Okay. Why did I know this was going to happen? Hold up.
Grand Rise.
Okay.
How are you doing?
Greetings. All is well. I've been
Grand
listening.
Rise.
Greetings, Sister Che, Lady Che. How are you?
Oh, good. How are you? How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well. On a good start today, keeping busy, stay busy for the day. But I was listening in, and you know, I make reference to the caste system as well. Mm-hmm. And as Brother Che was saying, you're born into your family, and however your family is casted is how you remain for the rest of your life. And I don't agree with that. And the first visualization that I had was, if you break something, a bone on your body, your bone is forever fragile from that break, but that mm-hmm. cast has to be removed at some point. And the only way the cast can be removed is if the bone heals.
Right.
So we may be born into a broken family, a broken system, and a cast is placed on that system, but mm-hmm. we can heal from that, and we can change our mindset at any mm-hmm. time, or we perish for the lack of knowledge. So if we choose not knowledge, then we choose to remain in ignorance, which is not bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Ignorance is not bliss. And so we know what we know based on what we study.
Right.
Based on what we research.
Mm-hmm.
And so why is that noise?
Okay, I'm getting ready to mute it. Okay.
Somebody's alarm.
No, okay, no, what it was, somebody was calling me on the other phone, okay, and I'm just, okay. And so therefore, you know, as Sister Akshita was saying, is that you're born into this system, okay, you see what I'm saying, and you're in it for the rest of your life, just like a
No,
plague.
That's not what I said.
Oh,
that's
oh I'm
not
sorry,
what I
man.
Said. That's what Brother Chase said. I'm saying
having the cast
system what I'm
in.
Saying.
You're saying
is, no, but not, I don't believe that, though. That's not my belief. That's not my opinion. My opinion
okay.
is that we have what it takes to change what we don't
okay.
like.
Okay.
If we are willing to do the work.
Yes.
Okay.
So if we don't want, if we can sit. We can sit in a pile of shit, or
right. We
can remove ourselves from that which we don't like and
mm-hmm.
get into a clean environment. That's only
okay.
it. Like, I can sit around here and I can let trash pile up, or I can bag it up and take it out, or I can get to
right.
a point to where it piles up for a while, but then I have to get myself to a point to say, okay, you know what? I don't like the shit that I'm sitting in, so I'm going to clean
right.
it up.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
I guess it's kept, Sister Akshita. There's a hidden caste system here in the United States of America. So
right.
It's not hidden.
Yes,
it's not hidden. Nothing is hidden anymore. We got the internet.
Okay. 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 And then, too, Sister Akshita, to prove your point even further, is that when you look at the plantation system in the United States that you had during slavery in this country, is that they had a caste system as well, too. And Brother Malcolm X had did some great, great lectures on that. And he had used himself, you know, as an example of that, because as we all know, they used to call him Detroit Red in his days in Harlem. And then in his autobiography, he had talked about the brutalization of the plantation system. Just like on Black Friday, you know, where they would have young black girls up there on the auction block. You see what I'm saying? Where the white slave masters would come and buy them for their son so he can go breed his own slaves as well, too. You see what I mean?
Yeah,
and
now
then
we got
also,
Backpage. Now we got Backpage. Now we got OnlyFans. Now we got Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
We got
mm-hmm.
all these different auction blocks in which
mm-hmm.
now the people put themselves on. Ain't nobody putting nobody on no auction block. People are putting themselves in that category.
Okay.
Because
no,
that's how they
true.
Categorize themselves.
Not
okay,
only
but Sister Ashita, I was just talking about, you know, in the 1800s during the slave system, ma'am. You know, not today,
I get it.
Yeah, go ahead.
I get it. We can't take away from what was, but we can change what was and see what it is now. And we don't have to live in those times. We can acknowledge those times and give honor to those who were able to withstand that life. You know, nothing happens for nothing, you know.
Okay.
And the fact that there were times of slavery and people have suffered through a terrible, you know, tragic event in life. We can't forget that those things happen, but we don't have to live in those times because we are no longer slaves.
Okay. And would it be safe to say, ma'am, is that now is that the chain is on the brain?
So just on paper,
yes, absolutely. And so if we don't remove those chains, we're going to remain to continue to think the same. And thinking the same is to think that you are still living in slave days, and we are not. And if you see yourself as a slave, then why would someone not treat you that way? You act that way.
Okay, and then to prove your point even further, Sister Ashita, is like when you look at this ratchetness that you got coming out of Los Angeles, you know what I'm saying? You know, with these rappers and hip hop. Yes, sir.
The ratchetness is nothing new. That's been going on for generations. The thing is, this is what they promote. This is what these music executives promote. And mind you, we don't own any of this stuff. So we can change our mindset all we want, but we don't own anything. So until we own,
but at the same time, these people who are putting this ratchetness out, they agreeing to that. That's what they agree to. So, like for instance, I listen to all kinds of music, but my daughters listen to J-pop, K-pop, piano music. Bands and things like that I can listen to their music as well. But my point is no matter how loud I play my music, how often I play my music, they are not swayed by my music, by the content of music that I choose to listen to, because that's not where their mindset is. They listen to clean music. They listen, and I listen to clean music as well. I'm not all Ratchet City over here or anything, but I do like a lot of bass in my music. And so a lot of times the words that come along with that bass are not always in the best of our interest. Now, this is why I create my own music, because now I can listen to music with bass in it and then put some positive words to that base, and I listen to my own music now. I listen to what I create.
Okay.
Let me just say this real quick. I agree, you know, I agree pretty much with everybody what they would say. I myself, I have a very wide, eclectic, kind of like old soulish vibe thing going with me with music. I'm all over the place. Like, I grew up in a house that had a lot of records. And so I love music, but I can't tolerate some of the young what they consider hip hop now or rap these days. You know, I can't tolerate it because I just don't like it's hard to get with, you know what I mean, for me. But I do listen to, like, in my personal time, I'm by myself and doing things. You know, I do listen to a lot of ratchet, you can tell really ratchet music over here by myself. And sometimes it's just for inflection of the mood I'm getting into, or like if I'm, you know, whatever I'm going to do, you know, behind closed doors, some things like that, you know. But I couldn't be outside driving around, and I have, but not, you know, all the time, but I could be outside driving around, you know, with my family in the car, listen to like what I would consider home music. You know what I mean? And I feel like there's times and places for those kind of things. You know, when we try to be, you know, make a positive impact. You know, I find that sometimes that music will have us acting
out of character for days on end if we don't get rid of it. You know, just got to find positive balance. We'll find ourselves doing real degenerate things, either in words or actions, you know what I mean? It's just
well,
good for, like, a limited action, you know, limited moments.
I hear you, Lady Chay, but let me say this. I have been in moments where I have questioned the music that I listen to in front of my children and how they would perceive themselves. So this is how I flipped it. If you ever heard the song, I used to listen to the Dog Pound all the time, and it ain't no fun if the homies can't have none, right? Okay, so I listen to music like that.
I'm more of a Let's Play House girl, but yeah.
I listened to that with my daughters in my presence, and here's what I did. I explained to them, see, this, if you don't have any respect for yourself, this is how people will see you. This is how men will address you if you don't see yourself better than that. So you can use the music as a tool to say, okay, is that how you want to be made to feel? Or, you know what I'm saying, if you don't want to be made to feel this way, don't be the characteristic in which they're speaking on in this music. Not to say that this is what you want to do, but to learn from it. Everything is educational if we use it as a tool to learn.
Right.
Okay.
Our sexual nature as humans is natural. It should not be something foreign that we don't discuss, that we don't this is why children these days are now being riddled with so many sexually transmitted infections and diseases, because no one is being honest and real about these conversations and topics with them.
Right.
This is a real problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
I was thinking
it
like that too. You know, personally, like on a, you know, I have moods, you know. Like any divine creature is gonna have moods of, you know, what's gonna inspire them privately, you know, when they're with somebody. And there's moods where it might be completely just, you know, ratchet. It might be just on some old other shit, some old romantical shit. You know what I mean? It's all dependent on it. But I would look at it too, you know, in the sense of I have a daughter. You know, I have a daughter. And I know that I don't like it when men look at me and perceive me some way. I never liked it when men looked at me and just thought I was just a hoe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Me,
the rest of the
me I
would
big,
like them to look
big,
at me some other way.
Tomboy.
Yeah.
I'm recently coming out of my, not recently, but, you know, in my latter years of life, I have come out of my tomboy stage. I used to wear big clothes, big pants, you know, all those. I never wanted to be looked at in a sexual manner because I was molested as a child. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
I was looked at inappropriately. You know what I'm saying? And this is me speaking honestly and open. There's nothing wrong with admitting that those things were an issue because people look at children in the wrong way. So I teach my children these things so they understand. If someone is looking at you in this way or making you feel a certain way, you talk to me about that.
Right.
We're not
and
secret.
And I agree. I got a daughter that's very tomboyish, and I'm a lady. I'm so blessed with that tomboyish. I got a little girl that's kind of tomboyish. I've been very feminine my whole life, but I've seen how men, you know, growing up as a little girl, like, you know, they prey on us. You know what I mean? And so I never,
yeah.
I was kind of like, I was like, please just be like, I'm glad she was tomboyish and like kind of thuggy. You know, like kind of like manage a little bit. She don't look like it, but
yeah,
kind
I'm
of,
never
you know,
claimed
I'm glad
to
about
be
that
a
energy.
Lady. I never claimed to be a lady. And people used to look at me crazy
yeah,
for saying something like that. A lady I've never been because in order to be considered a lady, you had to be dainty. You had to wear the makeup and have your hair done all the time and look a certain mm-hmm. way and present yourself in a certain fashion. I'm all woman for sure, but a lady I'll never be.
Yeah, I was the opposite. I'm like my brother was telling me, he told me the other day, he said, I remember the man you used to be. I said, look, bro, I'm a girl. I don't know what you're talking about, brother. We came out the same woman. I'm a girl. You didn't realize I'm a lady. I'm a lady. Like, I can say, like, I'm really, really, really feminine, you know? So I've been like that since I was small. You know, my mother was very tomboyish. And I just thought, I was like, oh, no, I like dresses. What do I mean dresses? I don't wear pants. I still don't wear pants. It's a struggle, you know what I mean? But I was like, I'm a lady.
I got a long skirt on right now. I love wearing long. I was a teenager wearing long dresses and long skirts. I'm talking all the way down to my ankles. And I've always dressed like that. If I'm going to wear, I've just in my recent years, begin to wear things that are shorter above my knees. But I didn't grow up wearing shorts and short skirts and things like that. And even to this day, I feel more comfortable wearing long skirts and long dresses.
You have to be uncovered. That's the thing. They got that idea.
I honestly feel like it is okay to be self-expressive in however you dress. And so that doesn't, because what I choose to wear doesn't say that it's okay for you to touch me inappropriately or to address me inappropriately. You can still respect the woman that has a short skirt on.
Yeah. And also, too, it's how you carry yourself, you know, with your own moral code of conduct. I mean. You wear whatever you want, as long as you know for a fact you're not gonna allow
everything. I wouldn't go to the nightclub in my church wear.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to go hang out at a nightclub, I'm not wearing what I would wear to church. Believe me.
I don't like them looking at me.
Because a man finds me attractive in what I choose to wear. Outside of a formal event, I wouldn't wear a short skirt to a ball. I wore a ball gown.
Brother Chain all day, I'd be like, so what kind, sometimes when we used to go to places where he used to wear this stuff, I'm like, how I gotta look, because we're going somewhere, because I wouldn't know, I would try to go off of what he was wearing. Like, if we go somewhere that he has to be in a suit, I have to look better, you know, nice too. Versus just casual clothing or whatever. But I was like, I believed in modesty. I had a little girl that was real pretty and men looked at her as just a small child. That I thought, you know, you can't show your skin, but you could dress. You know, just keep it modest. Just be modest. Like, nothing wrong with covering yourself. Not too much, you know, but not like showing everything, you know?
There are tribes. In Africa and other places in the world where their breasts hang free.
Yep.
Right.
Their butts are out. They're wearing thongs. Something will stay behind. But here's the difference. Here in America, things and the minds of the people have been over-sexualized. They have sexualized cartoons. They have sexualized foods. I mean, we can't even have a food commercial without them putting gender on it and some form of sexual thought on it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the mindset of the people.
Yeah.
And how,
I know. You think about it. Just what you said. We don't look at them any different.
Mm-hmm. People are sick. And because people are sick, that's like wearing a mask. Because people are sick, we wear a mask. So because people are sick here in this country, we wear clothes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, but as you do know, when it comes to clothing and attire, generally it's a lot related to climate as well, too. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I get that, but the point is the mindset,
Shabaka. Okay, you say the mindset,
ladies and gentlemen, in Africa, the tribes, and we don't feel nothing but them just, they're just doing their, they just do them. They're in the tribe.
They're not looking at their daughters when they're dressed.
We're just staring at them. No, we just
We're not looking at their daughters when their breasts begin to grow. This is a time where they begin to mature and they're getting ready for marriage.
Right.
That is part of the rite of passage too, Sister Akshada. You see what I'm saying? And then when you look at some of the various cultures.
Another question, just to the sister Akshada's point, though. Another thing is that we here in the Americas, when we see our native tribes out there on the motherland, we're not looking at them in a sick manner. We're looking at them at how they're living and representing, you know what I mean? But then we don't look at them like, I wish they'd cover up. We don't look at the men like that. We don't look at the women like that. We look at their customs, and we're just like, you know, just admiring, learning, you know what I mean? They've kept it pushing. Whereas here, it is a sickness here in the Americas.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
People have issue with men who like to take their shirts off in public. So now it's not okay to go to a beach.
Yeah, you can't get
people
no service.
A bikini or a swimsuit is just like panties and bras.
Pretty much, yeah.
I was gonna say something funny, but I forgot we're on a public airway. I was gonna say something personal, but we're on a public airway. I was like, that's too much, Brandy. What I was gonna say was, we come here, we program to look at the physical body as and shame it if it doesn't look like what they told us we're supposed to look like. Everybody's fat or everybody's ugly, you know what I mean? So anybody want to take their shirt off, or big women wearing in the South wearing shorter clothes to show their bodies off, we just looking at it here as a negative way, you know what I mean? So you're right on that, whereas it's hot. I could understand, you know what I mean? And plus, you're supposed to put your clothes on when you go into public places. No shirt, no shoes, no service type thing. You know what I mean? But it doesn't mean you can't enjoy yourself at the beach. It's very judgmental here. Very judgmental. You're right.
You know, I posted this lady who was, she was bigger. She was a plus-size woman. And she was, she had just gotten accustomed to dressing in ways that you would normally see someone who was slimmer, with her stomach out, back out, you know what I'm saying, wearing swimsuits and things like that, and she was posing. And I posted her, and I began to receive negative feedback because I shared her. And then I started looking at the comments that were underneath the original post, and people were shaming her because she had the confidence to do what they probably in their smaller bodies didn't even have the confidence to do. So,
true indeed. Like, I used to be a model. I was a model, plus-size model, way back in my much younger days. Plus-size model, probably as big as I am now. And it's just due, you know, for my own self because, you know, I grew up in shamed, okay? And I felt like, you know, super confident. How you going to shame me? And I had to do a lot of self-talk. That's a lot of self-talk when you got your family, you know, and everybody telling you ugly and this, that. But I made
It's a shame to have confidence in yourself, no matter you look like. If you're a big girl or a big guy, then you should be ashamed of yourself for looking like that. If you're a small girl or a small guy, it should be a shame for you to show your body because you proud. Oh, some men like to wear the short shorts because they proud of the work they done did on their thigh muscles.
Yeah.
I love Gucci daddy shorts.
Just they're working. They got leg days and arm days. They've been at the gym. You know what I mean? And they just want to see. You know, they just want to feel themselves. I get it. It's like I felt like it's about confidence. The worst thing is the unattractive thing. It's low confidence and low vibration. You know what I mean? I think that's the most unattractive quality. You know, it creates that judgment. You feeling low and low vibrational in your spirit and low confidence, low self-esteem. Of course, it's natural for a person to belittle another when you see confidence. You know what I mean? It don't matter what they wear. It don't matter how you think they're supposed to look. You don't feel like yourself, you're going to hang on
their own business and live their own life. We wouldn't have time to think about what somebody else got going on. And that's how I live my life. If you ain't bothering me, it ain't got nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Okay, folks. Well, we're down to our last 5 minutes. I want to start our closing comments.
All right. Go ahead, ladies. Ladies first.
Well, then, go ahead, sister.
Okay, well, all I want to say is that if we become the producers, we are no longer the consumers. So
we
have to stop consuming everything and then begin to produce things, and then we can consume what we produce.
Right.
It's
been
nice being on here. And, you know, I represent the Matriarch in PAIN, the Pan-African Intelligence Network, and I would like to give honor to Mandela Khan Davis for even – put me on this show, and Mad Dr. D for creating this show, and Shabaka for carrying on to Brother Chi and Lady Chi for always showing up and sharing your opinions and your thoughts about what's going on in the world today. And I appreciate y'all for having me on.
Okay, thank you so very, very, very much, Sister
Akshita. Early.
And Sister Akshita, you know, has been a contributor to this platform, you know, ever since in its inception and what have you. And then my closing comments is for us, you know, to become self-sufficient. Also, too, we got to set up our own educational institutions and whatnot. And definitely, you know, pay tribute to all the black soldiers that died, you know, in this country's military conflicts and what have you, and all the black soldiers, you know, that died worldwide as well, too, from Niger, you know, to Zania, to Zimbabwe, and what have you, and whatnot. And, of course, those in the Black Panther Party, you know, who made the ultimate sacrifice as well, too. Also, too, to those in the civil rights era as well, too. And we must become economically and educationally and politically independent. It's because when you look at the panties of Florida, he is stating exactly how white America feels about it, okay? And then when we look at that dump, as in human shit, and I want to make that perfectly clear, by the way, he is expressing of how honestly white America feels. And where I come from, there's an old saying, never apologize for how you honestly feel. Okay, and I yield, and that is my closing comments right there. And appreciate, you know, our well wishers for calling in. We appreciate those who called in, you know, over the last what season are we in here, Brother Chase? Season 7, I believe.
We're getting ready to
go into season 8. Yeah, at the end of this month. Yeah, start next month. Yeah, we'll be in season 8. And then for all our haters, you know, we appreciate you too, is because, you know, we take real joy in your garbage and your gibberish and your massive illogic. We do find it entertaining at times. And also, too, I want to put it out there on social media, is that you other content creators, we don't mind you posting into our groups, but we will appreciate it very, very much if you would just reciprocate of what we're doing as well, too, is because what's going to start happening to your other content creators, unless you are affiliated with us personally, we're just going to start throwing your shit out and blocking you, they say, is because there's one group,
well,
I'm not going to say any names, is that each time I make a post, oh, no, man, we can't make a post. It was automatically deleted. So that's what the hell we're going to start doing as well, too. But however, those who share our material, hey, it's not a problem. I'm talking about Jay Dizzle. Hey, the brother's been with us since day zero as well, too. More power to Jay Dizzle. There's some other platforms out there that I'm not going to mention, but you will soon find out who you are. It's because when you post off into our groups, you up there promoting yourselves, and you ain't sending nothing our way. So we're just going to start returning some favors. And if you don't dig it, hey, give us a call here at 516-418-5996 the next time we're on the air. So over there to the Pianchis, Joe Gibsons, Sarge, what have you. Sarge, you are hereby being charged with desertion. Also to Joe Gibson, we love your stuff that you come on with. A lot of it is fake news, false information, and what have you. We contradict you every time, you know, and we will continue to do so. It's because no other group is going to tell our group about our people's history. And then when we sit up there and talk about the barbarism about your groups and atrocities you committed against it, all right, this is hate mail. This is against our community standards. How are you making us feel so uncomfortable?
But
however, just imagine of how uncomfortable our people was on those boat rides and then working from sun up the sundown with no paychecks, so most definitely we are for the reparations. Okay, I yield. Anybody else have any other closing comments?
I just thought she was crazy this week when that white man was trying to give us a lecture of how the slave boats were laid out and how many was chained to what and what and laid out on levels. And I was like, God damn, man. Like, for real? Like, you really going to try to tell us something? Like, And be so adamant with it, like he had nothing but give back and fight back with it when you try to argue with him. I was like, come on now, like check your skin tone, cuz. Like, I was thinking about it. I was like, man, that was some funny shit. I just want to say thank you, Shabaka, and thank you, Sister Ashita, and Brother Che. And everybody say black, dangerous, and highly favored. And have a great-ass weekend. That's all I got to say.
Yep.
Join us for Front Line Black News tomorrow.
Nice.
Yes,
go ahead, Brother Che. I'm sorry.
What's Shabaka and the Chase? This was Season 7, Episode 406 of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Make sure you like and subscribe to all platforms, Frontline Black News on YouTube and Facebook, The Revolutionary Agenda on YouTube and Facebook, and Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced on Facebook and X. And make sure you check us out tomorrow for Frontline Black News Season 3, Episode 36, Part 1 of the Frontline Black News at 10 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. So peace, love, light, reparations and separations, and black empowerment. Thank you for everybody that called in today. Sister Ashita, you know you're always welcome. You've been with us since day zero. Lady Che, you've been with us for quite a long time as well. And, of course, you kept this platform afloat. Dr. Mad Doctor, his transition.
Yes, sir.
So with that being said, we're going to go out. What should we go out with, Shabaka?
Stymella by Hugh Masekela.
Okay. All right. From the Mile High Income City.
All right. Okay. Thank you so very, very much for tuning in.
That comes from Mozambique, Angola, Zimbabwe, Malawi, Botswana, Namibia, Lesotho, Swaziland, and the whole hinterland of South Africa. This train carries on in the young men and old men who are conscripted to come and work on the continent in the gold mines of Johannesburg and its surrounding metropolis. Deep, deep, deep down in the belly of the earth, when they're digging and drilling for that mighty evasive stone, or when they dish that mishmash mush food into their iron plate with an iron shovel, or when when they hear that choo-choo train is screaming up from the far horizon, they always curse the coal train that brought them to Johannesburg. Amen. Yeah,